Switchboard. Why, hey, Sunshine. Let me transfer you. Please hold. Switchboard. Why, I'm just Peachy. Thanks for asking. Please hold. Switchboard. Oh, dang. He's just stepped out of his office. Can I transfer you? Please hold. Bill! It's your wife!
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX for your business available from only 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome to a special edition of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with our special guest this week, Aki Anastasiou from Talk Radio 702. How's it, Aki?
How's it, Duncan? Welcome to Vegas.
We're broadcasting from the top of Trump Towers in Las Vegas.
The 38th floor, and you've got the McLeod view of Las Vegas.
Indeed. Beautiful view of the mountains, actually, outside.
Oh, yeah. Are you on the other side? Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, it's actually your first time in Vegas. So what do you think of Vegas?
It's crazy. It's over the top. and it's huge. You see the hotels two blocks away, and they don't look that big. And then you have to walk to our nearest hotel. Here is the Wynn, but it takes you a good 7 or 8 minutes just to walk to the hotel, and you get there. Just the scale of it is unbelievable.
No, it is unbelievable. And I mean, when you consider how many people are attending this consumer electronics show, I mean, there are 150,000 people over here.
Yes.
And everything just seems to be working like clockwork.
It is working like clockwork. You never wait more than a few minutes to get a taxi. Everything. I mean, obviously, they're used to hosting these massive shows.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
But anyway, we're here for CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which is the world's biggest gadget event.
Whew.
And so many gadgets, you can't shake a stick at them all.
Well, you weren't here last year. I was here last year. It was my first time last year. And you walk into these halls and you get so overwhelmed by the size and the magnitude of it. You actually can't explain it to anybody that you can walk the show for 4 days and you won't see everything.
Yeah, I walked half of Central Hall and South Hall today. And my feet were killing me, and I had to leave. It's just you could just walk forever.
Yeah, and of course the stands are massive. You look at the guys like Samsung and LG, and you know the big consumer guys. They've got these massive stands. I mean, I would say it's about a rugby field big, perhaps even bigger.
The Samsung stand is unbelievably
large.
It's
enormous.
The amount of money they must spend on it. I mean, they had 200 TVs dangling from the ceiling, and every conceivable Samsung product on display, and that booth was packed.
No, it was absolutely packed, and you just realize how powerful the consumer market is in North America, for example. Because I mean, really, in essence, whatever they introduce here is really going to be focused on North America and other countries. And I was reading some fascinating statistics about the show, Duncan, that something like 20,000 products are going to be announced here at the Consumer Electronics Show. And it was something stupid like 10 products every minute or something ridiculous like that, which we in South Africa will probably see maybe, I don't know.
Next year?
2% of those or next year, yeah.
Yeah, no, it really is crazy. And actually, fortunately, I did this to some extent before I left. You've got to plan this thing with military precision if you want to get to the right places, get to the right press conferences, talk to the right people.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you're really going to just wander around those halls in a dwell and not actually see the key stuff.
Yeah. So which press conference really impressed you so far this year?
I think the one that really blew me away was the Samsung one.
Yeah.
That company is just going from strength to strength, and it's no surprise that Apple is worried about them. They really are starting to encroach into Apple's turf.
Oh, yeah.
Apple is strongly rumored to be introducing a smart television product of some sort, possibly within the next few weeks. We know they've got that, they've called their press conference for later this month. That may be related to their plans for a smart television. But Samsung's there already, and they're doing it, and they've introduced a range of new products and a range of new features in their smart TV devices. And they're starting to get quite clever about how their devices, like their Galaxy tablets and smartphones, interact with their television products, which I'm sure is going to be the cornerstone of whatever Apple does in this space. So I think whereas with the iPad and the iPhone they were market leading, they may be playing a little bit of catch up in the smart television market.
Yeah, no doubt. And they really are impressive. And even just in the way they did their presentation and the keynote, it was really very slick.
Yeah.
Some very interesting products, some very good products. And what I was quite interested in is I was reading in some of the wires over there. One of the Samsung analysts made some kind of a note saying that it wouldn't surprise them, or their aim this year is to become the world's number one cell phone manufacturer. And at the rate that they're going, in the mobile market, it will come as no surprise when they surpass Nokia this year. They're gunning for Nokia.
Yeah,
they're already number one position.
They're already the number one smartphone manufacturer. Yeah. And they've got a lot of momentum behind them right now. These Koreans are doing very well. And it's interesting to contrast them with LG Electronics. They seem to, I mean, LG and Samsung were always traditional rivals, and they were kind of seen as equals, if you like. Coming out of that Korean market, but there's no doubt that Samsung has pulled well ahead now of its traditional rival LG.
Oh, no doubt about that. And also, you talk about the television market. Of course, LG announced their 55-inch device, and
That's their OLED TV.
The OLED TV
organic light-emitting diode.
Yeah, that's
television
right.
Set. Yeah,
which was quite impressive. But yeah, those two companies. I don't know what it is with LG, but Samsung seem to have something right. They've done something right. Perhaps it's the marketing. Perhaps it's the market approach. Because essentially, the products seem to be a lot slicker on the Samsung range.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot to do with marketing, Aki. I think you're right. I think that the Samsung guys have let the Americans run the show to a much larger extent. I think the Koreans are still keen to be involved in the marketing side, whereas the Samsung guys, the president of Samsung, I think it was the president of Samsung Electronics, came up on the stage, spoke for 2 minutes, and then the Americans came on the stage and handled the show.
That's it, yeah, the North American division, which I found very interesting. But yeah, certainly very slick, and it's really very, very focused on the consumer market, and some really cool devices. But
So Samsung, both Samsung and LG announced 55-inch OLED TVs at this year's show.
Yes.
They haven't disclosed pricing, but talk in the market is they're not going to be cheap. Somewhere between $8,000 and $12,000 per TV set. So, as we know, Aki, consumer electronics market, the prices of these things fall by 50% a year. So in 3 years from now, we're probably going to be seeing OLED TVs everywhere.
Yeah,
and they really are fantastic. Did you have a chance to take a look at them?
They're magnificent, Duncan. They really are magnificent. I mean, the quality that they're getting out of them is just unbelievable. Mm. And, they've got that very thin bezel.
And they're super thin.
They don't
require the LED backlighting. Well, they don't use a backlighting at all because of the nature of the technology. So they can really get these devices down to sizes that are actually thinner than tablet computers.
No, it's impressive stuff. And interestingly, before we started recording this, I was walking the floor this morning, and I had a chance to bump into Leo Laporte from Twit.
Yeah.
And we were talking about all these OLED TVs that are coming out, and he says that is where the future of television is going to be. That's what we're going to see, the trend developing over the next 2 years at the Consumer Electronics Show. You're going to see bigger screens coming out, better quality screens. But he was really blown away by the quality of the display, of the OLED display from both LG and Samsung. And he also touched on Sony, by the way, because Sony have also introduced a 55-inch one, but not an OLED display.
Yeah.
It's something crystal, I'll find the term right now. They've also introduced a similar kind of technology that does something similar to what the LG and the Samsung products do, and also a pretty impressive picture size as well, because Sony have announced some interesting products, but not as bold as what Samsung have announced, for example.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I agree. I think this show, the dominant theme coming out of the show, more so even than the trend to ultrabooks, is the news about all the innovation that's happening around television products.
Yeah.
Just walking the floor today, I saw quite a few stands showing off four times resolution screens. So, whereas the trend a few years ago was to full HD 1080p TV sets, they're now talking about quadrupling that resolution on the latest ranges, and we're seeing T72, 75, I even saw a 96-inch LED TV on display, and some of these are offering 4x 1080p resolution. The interesting thing is are the broadcast networks going to be able to cope with this sort of resolution going forward, because this is going to become this 4x technology, it appears, is going to become come the new standard in the next few years, and it's going to require huge amounts of bandwidth from the broadcasters to deliver that sort of high definition signal.
Well, absolutely, and that becomes a big challenge, I just remember the name of those Sony ones, it's the Crystal LED
that's right,
that they've introduced. But you're 100% right about the quality of the content. And perhaps the other aspect to this conversation we're having is actually the content being streamed. That high definition, nobody is saying it's coming from any of the broadcasters, but instead it's coming via cable or via internet connectivity. So you're going to be streaming all this content, which is perhaps how they're going to get around to the broadcast quality of it. But you're quite right. I don't see how broadcasters can get such a good signal into these televisions.
Certainly satellite broadcasts because of the capacity constraints on the satellites. So certainly in the South African context, as we go forward, it's going to be interesting to see how companies like MultiChoice cope with this rapidly escalating demand for higher definition services.
But having said that, I know that MultiChoice, for example, are planning to launch a new satellite in the near future just to deal with the congestion
that's
got up there. So
that's right.
But yeah, who knows if that will be enough, you know, because you add a few more channels to that high definition, it just chews up everything.
But the streaming one is right. You're absolutely right. Walking around, every vendor is announcing streaming-based solutions, from Lenovo, which launched a television set this week, to Samsung's new online services, and they're wanting to push more 3D content over the internet. The one thing that was noticeably absent from this entire show was any talk about Blu-ray.
Is the
Blu-ray format dead before it even took off?
No, it's most bizarre. In fact, there's actually, now that you mention it, I don't recall seeing anything blue on the show apart from the Blue Man group that we saw the other night. That's the only blue thing we've seen in Vegas. But absolutely, it's that and 3D, by the way. Last year there was just 3D all over the place.
Yes.
This year it's very tapered down. It seems to have fizzed out. But of course, all the panels that we're talking about that have been announced are all 3D anyway. So it's going to come as a standard.
The guys are talking, but instead of talking Blu-ray, talking to the guys at LG and Samsung, they're talking about 3D HD content, but they're not talking about delivering it on disk, they're talking about delivering it over the web.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's coming on streaming, and interesting, all these televisions are smart televisions, so they've got all these different apps installed as well. And, you know, you're talking about that connectivity to Facebook, to Twitter, to, you know, video conferencing and that sort of thing, which is very interesting. That television's going to be using a lot of broadband in the near future.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if the networks can cope with all of this.
Yeah, because I mean, the moment you start streaming that quality of video through cloud services and that sort of thing, you're talking about mega capacity that you need.
And of course, the other big news about television is how interactive they're becoming, and the fact that they're really becoming a PC in your lounge. They're offering smart services, apps. We've seen Google TVs running Google. Running Android, rather, all internet connected, Samsung's smart TVs,
gesture control.
I mean, even went past the canonical standard. Ubuntu now has an offering for smart TVs. Gesture control is another thing. Face recognition. So when you walk in front of your television, or sit down in front of your television, it immediately recognizes who you are and delivers the personalized experience that you're after with your customized channel, the app channels, the apps that you use, etc.
I mean, even yesterday at the Lenovo one, if you want to block certain content from kids watching, you can block their faces. So their face comes up, you can't see this and that, it won't allow them in.
Yeah.
And even the games, you know. We also saw lots of games coming straight, content coming straight to the television.
Yeah.
So it's quite fascinating. Is this a new era in television, perhaps?
It is, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the television is being revolutionized right now. The whole industry is changing. In terms of the screen technology, we had the change from cathode ray tube to LCD/LED televisions. The next big move in screen technology, which is probably going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years, is going to be the move to OLED. That'll be the big refresh cycle there. But on the other end of the scale, TVs are becoming interactive. They're becoming devices that you're going to talk to, that you're going to wave your hands at, get it to do things.
Yeah.
It's going to be a way of doing high definition video conferencing in your lounge. Without a doubt, television is going through a massive change, and it's being driven by the guys from the PC and internet industries.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and of course, all linking up to those cloud services where you can store documents and you can do all sorts of things. So, as Leo was saying, and as what you just said right now, clearly, television and content and the way we as humans interact with our televisions, that is what's going to dominate technology in the next 2 years. Because I honestly don't see anything like WoW coming up I mean, at this year's conference, for example, there wasn't anything wow.
Mm.
Last year was the year of the tablet, for example. I've hardly seen any tablets at this year's Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah.
You know? And, well, perhaps, and the other comment that I was reading is that the manufacturers have given up and said, you know, Apple, you've won the crown. You know, we're not here to compete with you guys. We're going to fight the war on other fields and on other levels. So that was quite interesting for me as well.
Yeah. Now, the other big story coming out of this week, of course, was Ultrabooks. It's a story that's been building for a while. Again, Apple features very heavily in the space with its MacBook Air, although that's not technically an Ultrabook. Ultrabook, of course, being a defined set of specifications created by Intel. But lots of vendors showing off these so-called Ultrabooks. Some of them I'm really disappointed with, actually. I played around with some and picked some of them up, and they looked like bog-standard laptops to me. But so there have been some impressive devices as well. I particularly like the Lenovo U300S. I think it's a nice-looking machine. Lenovo had some other machines. Acer this week announced the S5, which is quite a sexy little machine. But as far as I'm concerned, I've looked at a lot of them this week. None of them is better than the MacBook Air.
No, absolutely. They're all competing in that range, and you're quite right. There are one or two that come very close to the MacBook Air. Bearing in mind that there have been more than 50 of these Ultrabooks that have been launched here at the Consumer Electronics Show. But you're quite right, Duncan. I mean, none of them really come close to, well, some of them come close to the MacBook Air, but it's going to be a matter of refining it. And in fact, what surprises me is the price difference. You'd think that there would be a much cheaper price difference in the Ultrabooks, when in fact some of them are more expensive than the MacBook Air.
Yes.
Which is most bizarre.
Which is astonishing, yeah. But the guys are making progress. And I was saying to you before we started recording the show, Aki, that it's kind of like these guys have started the party around the Ultrabooks, but the guest of honor hasn't arrived and won't arrive for some time yet, and that's Windows 8.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's big talk about Windows 8, and there's high hopes for Windows 8 at the Consumer Electronics Show. And a lot of people are talking about Microsoft. As you know, that Microsoft said their goodbye to the Consumer Electronics Show, Steve Ballmer's last keynote. And they have a spectacular stand, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Microsoft's stand is really beautiful, but that's not going to be here next year. But high hopes for Windows 8 and Windows Phone 7. And already the start of the year, you were talking about flying here, that the Microsoft share price has been doing some interesting stuff as well.
It's been ticking up, yeah.
You know, so, it's a difficult one to call, isn't it, Windows 8, what it's going to do? But we saw some of those devices at the Lenovo stand running Windows 8, and I was quite impressed with it.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm still not convinced that Windows 8 is going to be a good keyboard and mouse operating system. I've played around, I had the opportunity to play around with it on some tablet computers here this week, the developer preview of Windows 8. And it's a really slick, and very pleasant interface to use with your fingers. I installed the developer preview of Windows 8 on my desktop PC in the office, and it's not ideal for using with a mouse and a keyboard, so I quickly found myself switching back to the traditional Windows UI rather than that sort of do they call it the Metro front end, icon based interface. But it's also risky to criticize a product that hasn't even gone into beta yet, and I'm sure we're going to see some dramatic improvements in the software before it comes out, and that'll make it a much more pleasant experience for mouse and keyboard for office environments.
Yeah, because you know, we had a meeting with Acer the other day, and we were talking about the Windows 8 on the Ultrabooks, for example. And because of that touch interface that you're talking about, they're saying ergonomically it would be difficult to put a touch screen on such a thin device because of the balancing of the device. The moment you touch it, it kind of almost topples over. So it'll be interesting to see how that will fit into, you know, the Ultrabook range of devices and laptops, for example. Mm-hmm. But high hopes. But a lot of people talking about Windows Phone 7 here.
Indeed. And that was a key part of Ballmer's keynote this week. Nokia, of course, announced one of the big announcements that came out of the show was the Lumia 900, which is a bigger screen device than the Lumia 800 we know about in the EMEA region. but it's all it, the other the big selling point of the 900, I think, is that it's Nokia's first LTE device.
Yeah,
running on, is it the AT&T network?
It runs. I think it's on the AT&T network. Yeah,
and that's generated quite a bit of excitement. Did you have a chance to play with it whilst you were on the show?
I actually went past the Nokia stand and I had a chance to play with it. It's quite an impressive device. Of course, the specs, like for example, the battery life, that's still not very clear yet, because we know how much those LTE devices chew on the battery. But you know, high hopes. You know, people. I was just watching the reaction of some of the people playing with the devices on the stand, and people were quite impressed. You know, there's a good vibe around Windows Phone 7 at the show, so it'll be quite interesting to see. But LTE, also big news here, eh? At the show.
Yeah. What did you see?
Well, I mean, just generally, you know, just an observation that I made. You know, South Africans, you know, we often compare and we complain about our speeds, our mobile speeds. And I must say, we should stop complaining, because when you compare what we've been experiencing over here, South Africa is heaven for, you know, 3G and LTE connectivity. Our speeds are much better than the ones over here. I mean, you've had the LTE dongle, you've been testing the MTN program as well, so have I. And, you know, the speeds don't compare, apart from our you know, broadband here in the hotel, which is superb. Mobile speeds are atrocious.
Yeah. I think that's also probably a function of the fact that the CES is going, and you have 150,000 geeks all trying to connect to the same cell tower. But
but it was like that last year. You'd think that they'd put up more towers to handle the more capacity, but on the floor, you just can't make calls. You can't get any data connectivity.
Yeah, networks are overloaded. Yeah, but there's a big LTE push here in America. They call it 4G. In fact, T-Mobile calls their HSPA Plus network 4G, which would please Lars Reichelt, the ex-LCC here, no end, I'm sure, after his battles with Vodacom.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
it's interesting. As someone was telling me that AT&T, in fact, it puts speed limits on its LTE network here, and it's limited to around 7 megabits a second on the download.
Oh, really? I haven't tested that. But it's quite interesting, the way they define... when you buy something in a product over here, they say unlimited data and they say this, but it's actually not unlimited.
No, it's uncapped. I was on this plan and three days after arriving in San Francisco last week, I was capped on an uncapped plan.
Exactly. I mean, what's the point? And I'm surprised nobody has challenged their standard advertising standards authorities over here.
Yeah.
How can they advertise unlimited, uncapped services like that when they cap you after X amount of time?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It is bizarre.
So those mobile devices are actually quite close to the Nokia stand. Talking about mobiles, I went past the BlackBerry stand as well. A lot quieter than it was last year, I must say, Duncan.
They had nothing new to announce this year, did they?
Nothing new to announce, and it's quite sad actually when you look at a company like RIM that dominated this market. I mean, I remember, and you will as well, in your travels to the US, every second person you saw had a BlackBerry device. Mm. Now you hardly see them here in America anymore.
It's the case in South Africa, and every second device is a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that will change.
Who knows?
Whether people love the BlackBerry internet service so much that they'll continue to use it, even though BlackBerry has lost popularity in developed markets. But I'm surprised. I was saying a bit earlier, I was surprised that that RIM even bothered to have a stand here, since then they weren't really announcing anything.
Yeah, well, they were. I think they were showing off some of the BlackBerry, the Playbook connectivity, you know, with the Android OS, how the compatibility between those two works. But yeah, they didn't.
I mean, there were some noises this week about the Playbook too, but.
It was just noise.
Didn't really get anyone too excited. No, I don't think there were any demos of it going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aki, we need to take a quick break there. We'll be back right after these messages.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
J&M, how may I help?
Polly, you're not going to believe what we just got in the office.
Betty Sue, you tell me and you tell me right now.
An IP-hosted PBX that is customizable to our needs.
What will they think of next? That's so swell.
And it's affordable.
That's so neat. You sure are lucky, Betty Sue. We're still stuck in the past.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX solution for your business that offers fantastic savings. Available from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. We're coming to you from Trump Towers in Las Vegas today. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with my special guest, Aki Anastasiou from Talk Radio 702. Thanks for joining us, Aki.
How's it, Duncan? Good to be here.
So, you mentioned you've seen some interesting home automation technology at the show.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff happening around that front. And it's what I find fascinating is that we're getting to this new era of communication where devices are now starting to talk to each other. We were at the Samsung keynote and we saw the washing machine, that there's an app for it that you can control your washing machine from wherever you are. And there's all sorts of things where you can control your light switches and your aircon and all that sort of thing. That's been around already, let's be honest. But I think it's getting a lot more sophisticated. And that home automation is just reaching a new level now. And I think it's also becoming affordable for many. So it's almost like becoming a standard in many homes here in the United States. So I was quite interested to see what's happening on the home automation front.
Now, that washing machine was actually quite cool. So if you put your clothes in the machine and switch it on, go out to a restaurant, go out shopping or whatever, your phone will beep when the washing is done, so you know to get home to hang it up.
Yeah, and you can start it off from wherever you are as well.
Yeah.
So if you like working and you want on your way home, you can start it, so by the time you get home, it's ready to hang up and dry.
Yeah, it's a pity it actually doesn't do the process of hanging it up and drying it.
That's next. The robot will do that next.
The robot will do that and the ironing, yes.
You know, I was surprised that we don't see robots at consumer electronics.
There was a small section in the South Hall where they were showing robotics technology. But I didn't have much chance to take a look at it.
Did you check out that drone, the AR drone?
The new version.
Wow, it's so exciting.
Cool?
It's very, very cool.
What does it do that the old one doesn't?
Well, it's got high definition video and it does all sorts of new things as well. And it's quite an interesting one. I was watching these enthusiasts playing around with it, which...
Just explain what the AR drone is for those who don't know. It's a game, okay.
Well, not really a game.
It's a
sophisticated toy. It's like a helicopter with four propellers that you download an app for the iPhone. I think there's an Android version as well for the iPad as well. And you can control this device from your cell phone and you fly. So you use your cell phone, your iPhone as a remote, and there's a built-in camera into the device as well. And you fly it around and you can video and you can record. And they have these AR drone fights and, that kind of thing, but it's an interesting little device and quite powerful propellers. If you get your finger smacked by one of those, as I did, it is quite painful. But the new one is cool because it's got a new kind of shape. It's got a fancy camera, and I think it's got a bit more power, so you can load a camera and take that up with you and doing aerial shots and that sort of
very
thing.
Very nice,
quite cool.
I played around with the original AR drone, and I for the life of me couldn't get it to work. I'm obviously not smart enough to fly one of these things.
I crashed mine.
I did too. I'd take it off, it'll come crashing down, and then my dog's trying to eat it. But they are great fun. They are great fun. But to take it to a park or something.
I was talking to guys from SMAC who bring it in to South Africa, and they were telling me that they will be bringing it in very shortly for those of you who've got those AR drones.
Great. How much do they cost? Do you know?
They were 1,999 in South Africa.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
But
great party gift.
Land up. You'll end up spending lots of money on the spares for it when you break it like I did. But I was just wanting to just touch on Huawei as well.
Yeah.
We were talking about Nokia.
Yeah.
I was at the keynote.
I missed that one. What happened?
Well, they announced what they call the world's thinnest smartphone. And it was really, really tiny. And I must say that that's a very interesting company to watch because they're entering that mobile space.
That could be the next Samsung.
Yeah, and the device wasn't a bad device. It was really ergonomically designed. I think they've got a Danish designer working on it, and it was quite an impressive device.
Okay.
Really super thin.
Android, I take it.
Running Android.
Ice cream sandwich.
Ice cream sandwich version 4, superb battery life. So one company to watch in the smartphone market. I mean, you saw what they did in Kenya with their smartphone.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Huawei is a very interesting company. I think they're going to emerge as the next. They already have emerged, but I think they could be the next Samsung in terms of scale.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very interesting company, and they're involved. They do everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So one to watch.
Cool. In fact, it's an interesting analogy, but I think Huawei and ZTE are a bit like China's Samsung and LG in that order.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's an interesting, good analogy you used there, because it is like that. And ZTE have also, I saw some of their stuff over here that they were demoing, but it will be interesting to see them at Mobile World and see what they come up with in the next few weeks.
Yeah, you're going to Mobile World this week?
Yes, I am. So I'm looking forward to seeing...
That's, of course, the big mobile conference in Barcelona in Spain, organized by the GSMA. And there was actually a lot of talk here about that conference here this year. Samsung was saying, come to Mobile World Congress, we'll be talking more about our phones there, and a lot of big announcements have been held off from CES, so they can announce them at the big Barcelona conference. Aki, you mentioned that you've seen quite a lot of interesting green technology. I've certainly been walking around the floors and seen that LED lighting is taking off in a big way.
Oh, big way!
And I'm particularly interested in this technology because my house is just full of power sucking LED halogen downlighters. I know that you've been talking to the Philips guys, I think, about technology and how it's pretty expensive at this stage to replace your downlighting, but with the electricity prices in South Africa going through the roof, I think a lot of consumers are going to start to look at this technology, and there's been a lot of talk about it at CES this week. What is your take on what's been happening?
Well, absolutely, and I've seen quite a few interesting things on that side in terms of the light balance and getting that warm light right, because that's been the challenge with LED, is to get the warm light right to the current lights that we're accustomed to. So they're finally getting that right. The prices are starting to come down, and you're seeing that. And on the green front, a couple of companies displaying some solar-powered devices that are over here, some solar-powered laptop chargers and that kind of thing. And solar is going to be a very interesting technology to watch over the next couple of years, because they're making massive strides. I was talking to an Israeli company about it, and they really are on the forefront of breaking this new technology in solar that's going to take over the world. So that's going to be interesting, how we manage to harness the power of the sun and harness that into power and use that electricity effectively. That is very, very close to becoming a reality, using it really effectively. So lots of those companies demonstrating that. And of course, the focus on any of the devices coming out is that they are energy friendly and green friendly here at the Consumer Electronics Show. And that goes across the board from, laptops to Ultrabook devices. They really are energy efficient, and certainly a strong focus for most of the manufacturers here.
Yeah. I was in the South Hall, and I don't know if you saw that RV home.
Oh my gosh.
Solar powered RV home. Very American. this gigantic RV with solar panels right across its body and across its top.
Those RVs are. You see some cars here in Vegas that you think to yourself, why?
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that? These massive wheels that you need a stepladder to get on to your car. I mean, we took a picture of you yesterday.
Yes. We were at Fry's Electronics, which is the ultimate nerd shop in America, shopping for SSDs and all sorts of other stuff yesterday. But we parked our rental car next to this. What was it? It was a Dodge or something.
It's
souped up to some ridiculous extent with wheels that sort of came up to my chin. The Americans don't like small, that's for sure. Certainly not here in the Midwest.
Yeah. But Duncan, interesting, you're talking about cars. The manufacturers coming over here and introducing all sorts of different devices. I mean, we've seen Ford's been here, Kia is here, for example. Who else is here? And Mercedes-Benz, Daimler Chrysler. I was at the Daimler Chrysler stand, and I was just sitting there looking at this, and they announced a Facebook app for Mercedes. I mean, a Facebook app for Mercedes is...
For what?
Why? I don't know why, but clearly, there's a lot of technology going into these cars. I even saw a company that introduces a box that stays in the car that makes your car a wireless hotspot using LTE. So you've got a permanent wireless hotspot in your car wherever you're driving.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it sits in the dashboard, and it comes with a motor plan. So as long as you've got a motor plan of 3 years, you've got 5 gigs, I think they were talking about, a month. and you got a wireless hotspot permanently in your car, and it was quite cool. But I was saying that I was at the Daimler Chrysler stand the other day,
yeah,
and walking past me, there's the Daimler Chrysler chairman, Jürgen, whatever his name is. And I looked at him, and he like literally walked past me. I shook his hand, and I said, "Congratulations! What's your technology that you're introducing?" And he basically, his bodyguards just huddled up all around all of a sudden, and then he started talking to me, and he says to me, "No, we're making our cars smart and smarter, and we want that connectivity to come to the car, and giving our drivers the ability to stay connected wherever they might be." And that's one thing that you're going to start seeing on the cars. And you know, I don't know what the point of it really is, because we don't, you know, people don't want you to be distracted, because they're saying you get distracted, you have accidents, but here we are adding more distractions,
yes,
to the car.
Yes, indeed, that's what I was thinking as well, because we were both up at Pepcom's digital experience, I think it was on Monday night, where they get some of the top companies around to demo specifically to the media here at CES, and look at quite a few of the car companies there, and they're building these Android-powered computers into the dashboards. And you're right, Aki. I think we may see an increase in accidents once these cars
hit the road. No doubt. But you know, one thing that you do see here at this Consumer Electronics Show, there are just accessories all over the place.
Yes.
And you realize how massive that accessory business is. Mm. And I saw this most fascinating accessory by an Australian company. They make a totally waterproof iPhone case. And this guy was telling me how every single case is tested. I'm just trying to remember the name of the manufacturer. It will come to me. But it was so well made. And it even had little tuppets and screws around it.
I saw Brett bought one.
Yeah, that's right.
Brett Haggard, our colleague. I was chatting to him over dinner, and he was demoing it to me. And he's a big iPhone fan. And I said to him, well, let's test it out. Let's dip it in the sink and see if it actually works. He didn't seem too keen on that idea, though.
Well, they swear by it. They guarantee it, that you have to test it. Obviously, you test it without your phone initially, just to make sure there's no water that gets in. And you can do video stuff underwater with an iPhone.
That's awesome.
Which is quite cool. But yeah, all those little accessories that you now get for different devices, and everyone's coming up with different ones, and Bluetooth, and lots of streaming kind of devices that you can stream content to your phone and that sort of thing. One of the companies, I think it was D-Link, that had this little device that's in like an external 16 gig external hard drive with wireless capacity that you can stream content to your iPad or your iPhone. You know, obviously if you run out of space and you don't want to load the movies on your phone, you can stream it from an external device. I don't get it, but you know.
No, it sounds pretty cool.
A 64 gig device.
Yeah, but that's an extra capital layout. I presume this external device is significantly cheaper than the actual iPad or iPhone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, again, as you say, Aki, this show is so big. There must be so much cool stuff going on in some of the smaller booths and stuff, but you never really get a chance to get to it all.
Yeah. I'm just getting this document out where we can just touch on the best of CES, the devices and the gadgets.
The CNET announcement. Yeah. The top tech. Yeah. While you're doing that, Aki, I must say I had a fascinating interview with the top guys from BitTorrent. Yesterday. BitTorrent, of course, being the company behind the BitTorrent protocol, which is the peer-to-peer system which many people use to download
yes,
material on the internet. Astonishingly, the guys were giving me some of the statistics on how BitTorrent has expanded in recent years. You know that BitTorrent now accounts for more internet traffic than the HTTP protocol, which is the protocol used for the web.
Joking.
So over 40% of global internet traffic now goes through the BitTorrent protocol, or uses the BitTorrent protocol. So the growth there has been absolutely amazing. Very strong emphasis on, we are not a piracy company. We do not endorse or encourage piracy, although of course their product is largely used by consumers to download copyrighted material. But they're very keen to work with device manufacturers and with content providers, funnily enough, and they're busy signing agreements with various players. To almost like become like a Dolby or what's the LucasArts equivalent?
THX.
Become like that and become embedded in player devices. So in future you may buy some sort of internet connected media player of some sort. You may actually see the BitTorrent logo on the front of the device. So that's the sort of the direction that they're pushing in. It was a fascinating discussion. I'm going to put the piece up on Tech Central in the next week or so, really about how they see LTE networks as well becoming a way of how they see BitTorrent as a way of effectively and efficiently distributing media content over next generation LTE networks, particularly in the developing world context that we come from.
Well, they've certainly got their compression right and how they do it, because that's quite interesting. What happens in the background and how they do it. And you think of the big companies like Microsoft and that, you know, that want to do the updates on their devices. It would make sense to use that kind of technology.
Some of them already do. They mentioned a games company. I think it's Electronic Arts that distributes its patches, games patches and updates via BitTorrent. There are a couple of others. The big guys like Apple and Microsoft use services like Akamai to distribute. But they've said they're very keen to work with Microsoft and the like to distribute their service packs and all the rest of it. I think the guys like Microsoft and Apple though perhaps are a little reluctant to work with BitTorrent because of the fact that it's got this perception of being this piracy network.
Yes.
But the guys at BitTorrent. Say that they're actively they want to be actively seen not to be a that sort of network. Interestingly, the big media companies, the Hollywood studios, etc., have never sued them. They've never faced a lawsuit.
Really?
Mm. Unlike Napster, which was taken down.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah.
They just develop a protocol that facilitates the ability for consumers to transfer files. No more. They don't host any content. So I guess the studios don't have any basis to go after them.
Was Brom Cohen there, the head honcho?
He was kind of
a strange guy.
Yeah. He was there, but I spoke to their chief strategist mainly. Interesting company. They have 90 employees. They're backed by two venture capital companies. It's quite remarkable that a 90 employee startup in San Francisco is responsible for more than 40% of global internet traffic.
It's astounding.
It is astounding.
It really is astounding. It is quite astounding. You know what's amazing about this show, the Consumer Electronics Show? There's all this kind of stuff that you just mentioned now that just happens in the background without you realizing it. Aside from the face of it, you see all these millions of gadgets and that sort of thing. The business deals that are made over here in the background with dealers and that. Because, of course, the show is not open to the public.
No.
You know, there's just dealers and there's analysts and press here. You know?
Yeah.
They just walk around and you don't know who's more important, but everybody walks around like a big deal, calling the shots, going from stand to stand.
You can't actually come here without a lineup of meetings planned, and thank goodness I did that before I came.
Because
if you just go and walk that show, you're going to get nothing.
You're getting nothing, and you're going to lose 2,000 business cards because everybody wants a business card.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the amount of deals that must happen here are impressive. And also, you know, I find the whole business side of this thing fascinating, because aside from the business deals, you know, there's this massive entertainment that goes on. These big companies are entertaining their bigger North American customers. And you just see these limos going up and down the strip, picking up people, taking them to fancy places, and it's all about the money, Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the units.
Lots of moolah gets made in this town over CES.
Yeah.
And all the other conferences, I'm sure they do here all year long. But we're about 45 minutes into the show, so I think we should probably call it there. Is there anything else, Aki, that really stood out for you at the show that you'd like to talk about?
Well, one of the things that did stand out was I saw a demo of a 3D printer.
I wanted to see that, and I didn't get a chance.
Which was quite impressive.
Maybe I'll go back tomorrow morning for a quick look at that.
Yeah, I'm actually.
What were they showing?
Well, they're just showing that capabilities are of 3D printing in the near future, and many of us have seen those YouTube videos saying, "Wow, that's amazing! How does a printer do that?" But the ability for a printer to print an object, a solid object, and multi-angled and multi-sided object, if I can use those words, is quite impressive, to say the least. So a long way. It's very early days still, but if they get this right like they have now, you know, who knows what the possibilities are for 3D printing. You know, it's quite
very
amazing.
It's very cool technology. I'm actually keen to buy a 3D printer, some sort of basic 3D printer myself, just so I can test out the technology.
And they're
not that expensive. I think the real cost is going to come in terms of the raw materials that you want to put into this thing, depending on what you want to build. But The Economist had a really good cover story on 3D printing a couple of months ago, and it's well worth reading it. I don't know if 3D printing is going to be the big story of 2012.
No.
But I think perhaps next year or the year after, this has the potential to be a revolutionary technology that could change the world. But I think it's going to be a story that begins to really develop as this decade wears on.
Yeah.
But you're right, 3D printing technology is absolutely fascinating, and I can't read enough about it. And if you our listeners haven't really delved into this particular subject, get onto Google and do some reading, because it really is going to change the way the world works.
Or even better, get onto YouTube and search for 3D printer and watch one of them in action.
Yes.
You won't believe what you're watching. it's bizarre to watch. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. But yeah, it's been a good show, Duncan, and it's been great spending time with you here. I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. It takes it out of you.
It does. Traveling and trying to work at the same time, given that South Africa is 10 hours behind where we currently are, is quite difficult. So I must say I'm looking forward to being back at my desk next week and not back on the regular time zones and getting stuff done. But it's been great to visit the city and to check it out. It's my first visit here, and the scale of it is just... It's just incredible. I'm not sure I like the place, though. Don't know about you, Aki.
No, you know what? There's something about it that you can take Vegas for 1 or 2 days and then you just want to get out. It's sleazy, and in a way it's a little bit sad, but in another way it's a little bit glitzy and it's a bit exciting. And Duncan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I promise not to tell your listeners about your rodeo experience. No, I'm joking. There was no such thing. But when you watch, what's that crazy movie about those four idiots that came to Vegas and...
You mean the Hunter S. Thompson?
No. Well, you saw that the Circus.
The famous Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Hunter S. Thompson, yeah.
No, I'm thinking of that other movie where those guys come for their bachelor party to Las Vegas.
The Hangover or something.
The Hangover. Yeah. So when you watch those kind of movies, you realize, hey, you know what, that stuff's quite possible to happen in Vegas.
Yes.
It's realistic. It's not far off the mark. So anyway.
This is definitely not a town our colleague Brett Haggard keeps pointing out. This is not a town to bring your children.
No, definitely not. But it was interesting, and it's very much an in-your-face town, but an interesting experience nonetheless. And of course, Consumer Electronics Show really sets the benchmark for many of the companies, and I'm excited for the future of technology.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been fascinating to see some of the technology that's coming, and without doubt, the big news this year has been how television is changing.
Well, yeah, and just, I know we're ending off, but I was speaking to the taxi driver.
Yeah.
And a very interesting observation that he's been here for the last 15 years taking people up and down. And he says the Consumer Electronics Show is the show that kind of gives you a signal as to what's happening in the economy.
Yes.
And he's saying that based on what he's seen this year and the activity, and he's seeing the show's been a bit busier, he says the economy's turned and it's on its way up. So let's hope that that's sending the right signal, and we're out of the doldrums, the economic doldrums that we are in the world at the moment.
Yeah. Taxi driver economics. Let's see if it applies. Aki, thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of Talk Central.
Pleasure,
and,
Duncan.
I will see you back in Johannesburg.
Pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment at the end of the post on the website. I've forgotten how I end the show now. As always, thank you and goodbye. I guess that's it. Thanks very much, Aki, and from myself, Duncan McLeod. Until our next show, cheers. Okay.